Several years ago, I was in Northern Ireland, and I asked my colleague Dennis Murray, then the BBC's Ireland correspondent, to help me puzzle through one of the murkier thickets of Ulster politics. "I'm confused," I said. "Welcome to Belfast," he replied, "where if you're not confused, you don't know what's going on." There is, of course, wisdom beneath that contradiction, and my friend Dennis is in good company. Benjamin Franklin, Oscar Wilde, Woody Allen, and Yogi Berra are among the famous practitioners of this technique, with which psychologist Marty Grothy has dubbed oxymoronica. He defines that word as any variety of tantalizing, self-contradictory statements or observations that on the surface appear false or illogical, but on a deeper level are true, often profoundly true. We've been asking our emailers to send in their favorite examples of these paradoxes to totn@npr.org, and you can call in as well. The number is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. Of course, the website and the email address is still open. That's totn@npr.org. Marty Grothy is the author of the recently published Oxymoronica, Paradoxical Wit and Wisdom from History's Greatest Wordsmiths, and he joins us now from the studios of member station WRNI in Providence, Rhode Island. Welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Thanks, Neil. It's a pleasure.
First of all, tell us the difference, the distinction, if you would, between an oxymoron and an oxymoronica.
Well, everybody knows that an oxymoron, of course, is a contradiction in terms, and they think of jumbo shrimp and pretty ugly and old news and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Oxymoronica is my word for a collection of oxymoronic quotations, and I was kind of inspired by the word erotica and exotica. Those are collections of other things, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so oxymoronica is my catch-all phrase for oxymoronic and paradoxical quotations.
And just to get a correction out of the way, somebody did write in that this is derived from two works in Greek and that oxymorons is not the correct plural.
Well, technically speaking, the correct plural for oxymoron is oxymora, just like the plural for phenomenon would be phenomena. But I advise people to go rather easy on that score, because if you start saying oxymora, a lot of people around you will consider you a little on the pretentious side.
or say, what?
That's right. I use both, depending on the audience.
Well, as an example, and this is taken from your book, but I thought it was just terrific, Isaac Bashevis Singer, piece of oxymoronica, "We have to believe in free will. We've got no choice."
That's right. Paradoxical quotations have had a special significance in the life of all kinds of highly intelligent people. There's a philosopher named Ludwig Wittgenstein who said, "When I came home, I expected a surprise, and there was no surprise. So, of course, I was surprised."
Now, this somebody at the level of a Wittgenstein. Why do so many smart people find these phrases so intellectually satisfying?
Well, you know, somebody once said that a paradox is a truth standing on its head to get our attention. And there's something about highly intelligent people. They love not just wordplay, but they like idea play. And there's something about playing around with the world of ideas. You recall Niels Bohr, the Danish physicist?
Sure, yeah.
He won the Nobel Prize in 1922. And after he won the prize, he went back home to Denmark and he invited a bunch of journalists over to his house. And a journalist noticed a horseshoe up on the wall. And he said, can it be that you, of all people, believe a horseshoe will bring you luck?" And Bohr's replied, "Of course not. But I understand it brings you luck whether you believe it or not." Another favorite comes from Margaret Mead. She said—
The famous anthropologist, yes.
The famous anthropologist and actually fairly witty person. She said, "I always remember that you are absolutely unique, just like everyone else."
Well, isn't it the Thurber that you quote as saying, why are you just going ahead being a nonconformist like everybody else?
That's right. James Thurber was fond of the technique. And see, the whole notion here of whether it's an oxymoron, when you have an oxymoron like pretty ugly or a freezer burn or terribly nice or working vacation, or as you said earlier, working a retirement, what happens is you take two concepts that are contradictory and you put them together. But when you put them together, they make a whole new fabulous statement. Take a happy and agony. Those are two contradictory words. on its own, it doesn't seem to make a lot of sense, but Alec Guinness once said, acting is happy agony. Now, if you've ever talked to an actor and you ask them about their world, they know exactly what they're talking about, because there's something about being on stage. You know, it's thrilling. It's anxiety producing at the same time. So happy agony kind of captures that experience.
Our number, if you'd like to join us, is 800-989-8255. And let's get a caller on the line. Tom is with us from Las Vegas, Nevada.
Hi, I guess I have one of the phrases for you. I actually was a military intelligence officer. However, I specialized in counterintelligence, and we always used to point out that we did our best to stamp out intelligence wherever we found it.
Oh, that's a good one.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tom.
Some examples of oxymoronica are inadvertent, and some of your listeners will remember the great one. It's kind of a sad one, but it's a great example from the Vietnam War. The Army major who said we had to save this town, we had to destroy it.
Yes. The other inadvertent one you use as an example, though, is a happier one. Yogi Berra's, hey, nobody goes to that restaurant anymore. It's too crowded.
Oh, there's many great examples of inadvertent ones. A verbal contract is not worth the paper it's written on, you know, Samuel Goldwyn.
Mm-hmm.
There's another fabulous one. I remember when Marion Barry was the mayor of Washington, D.C. He one time said, outside of the killings, Washington has one of the lowest crime rates in the country.
Here's an email we got from Lynn Arbuckle in Chandler, Arizona. My friend returned from a movie to report that it didn't have a stitch of nudity.
Not a stitch.
Of course, this is more in the oxymoron category. Boneless ribs.
Boneless ribs. Classic example. You'll see it on every list.
Now then.
You know, another great one is the Robert Browning quote, less is more.
Mm-hmm.
And see, this is a perfect example of a quote that at a literal level, it's false. You know, less is clearly not more. But at another level, it is absolutely true. He wrote that in 1878. It languished in obscurity for maybe 40 years. And then the architect Ludwig Mies van der Rohe found it. He said, wow, that captures a principle of design. Take away some of the excess material to a good design, it becomes better. So less is more became his motto.
Let's get Lisa on the line. Lisa's with us from Durham, North Carolina.
Hi, Neil.
Hi.
Show.
Thank you.
My daughter came up with one as we were listening to you on the way home from school. Cool parents.
Cool parents. Absolutely. Hip parents is another good one.
Anyway, thanks for a great show.
And thanks for being an oxymoron, Lisa.
All right.
Bye-bye. Bye. Email Eileen Casey sent us, this is a favorite of my husband's. Nostalgia, it just ain't what it used to be.
Another good one from Dolly Parton. You'd be amazed how much it costs to look this cheap.
But getting back to that guy who was in military intelligence, and a lot of people would, anything that begins with military intelligence, music, justice, a lot of things are considered oxymorons. But, you know, this is a great technique for insult. You have a wonderful one. I think it's Oscar Levant. And what is it about people named Oscar using this technique? But anyway, Oscar Levant describing Doris Day as, I used to know her before she was a virgin.
Oh, indeed. Yeah, that was a great one. There are some wonderful insults. Theodore Roosevelt said about John Tyler, a former president, he said he was a politician of monumental littleness. Gore Vidal called Andy Warhol a genius with the IQ of a moron.
We are speaking with Marty Grothy, who's the author of a newly published book called Oxymoronica, Paradoxical Wit and Wisdom from History's Greatest Wordsmiths. If you'd like to join us, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, or email us, TOTN@NPR.org. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I wanted to ask you, to talk about the appeal of this. You go back to an F. Scott Fitzgerald quote, the test of a first-rate intelligence is the ability to hold two opposed ideas in the mind at the same time and still retain the ability to function.
That's right.
What's the relationship?
The relationship here is exactly what we've been talking about, is that in a paradox or in an oxymoron, which is actually a compressed paradox, you've got two separate ideas operating at the same time. And at a literal level, they contradict one another. But at another level, they absolutely make a ton of sense. An example from 2,500 years ago, Lao Tzu, the Chinese philosopher, said, "To lead the people, walk behind them." Well, when people hear that for the first time, they go, well, what does that mean? And see, that's the purpose of a paradox. The purpose of a paradox is to get people's attention and to cause them to think, well, what does that mean? And when you think about it, now I think I know what it means. It means when you want to really lead the people must feel as if you're behind them.
Mm-hmm.
And go ahead.
I was just going to get some more callers on the line.
You're fine.
All right. Let's talk with Lynn. And Lynn is with us from Jacksonville, Florida.
Yes, I find it ironic that you're speaking about this topic as I'm in the middle of reading Catch 22.
Ah, perfect.
And would you agree that this whole novel is full of oxymoronic phrases and situations?
Absolutely. And there's one really classic one. I wonder if you remember this one, Texan. Do you remember the one about the Texan? The Texan.
I'm not sure.
Okay, let me share it briefly. The Texan turned out to be good-natured, generous, and likable. In 3 days, no one could stand him.
I like the one, Doc Danica, when they said that he left his medical practice and the two most important things he left in the States, his adding machine and his checkbook.
No, the whole novel is filled.
The Native American or the Indian, and he said he can't stand how so many people are so racist, especially all of that he goes on to name WAPs, kikes.
I think we can get the picture.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for a great show.
Thank you very much, Lynn.
Bye-bye.
Of course, Catch-22 describes a peculiar military situation. Is the military a rich vein of these of oxymoronica?
Well, one of the oldest military themes in history comes from Aristotle, which says, we make war that we may live in peace. And that's a fairly serious thought. But apart from the military intelligence one, I don't have a ton of examples from that.
All right. Let's speak with Rosé, who's with us from Phoenix.
Hi.
Hi.
How about thank God I'm an atheist?
That's a famous George Bernard Shaw line.
Is it? Well, I didn't know where it came from, but I've been saying it for years.
That's right.
Didn't claim ownership, but I love it.
Do you know the comedian Paula Poundstone? 20 years ago, I heard her say, I'm a devout atheist.
I love it. Okay, well, thanks a lot, and I enjoy the show.
Thank you very much. Rosé. I love the Woody Allen line. It's not that I'm afraid to die. I just don't want to be there when it happens.
Perfect. we're laughing at a lot of these, but I will tell you there's a lot of profound truth contained in some oxymoronic observations. Louis L'Amour, the author of all those great Westerns,
sure.
He began one of his novels, I'm not sure which one, with these words. He said, there will come a time when you will believe everything is finished. That will be the beginning.
Well, that's very profound, obviously. It's funny and it's profound.
It is profound.
Let's get one more caller in. Deborah is with us from Waco, Texas.
Hi. I get my hair curled when I hear people say extraordinary instead of extraordinary.
That's right.
Extraordinary is great. Extraordinary is very, very plain.
Interesting. And when you look at the word extra and ordinary, many people consider that a one-word oxymoron.
Yeah, of course. Now that I get it. Yeah, now I get it.
I mean, it takes a while.
Dawn breaks on Marblehead. Yeah.
It takes a while, but when these hit you, they just absolutely are spectacular.
Deborah, thanks very much.
Sure, thanks.
And Marty, thanks very much. Good luck with the book.
Thank you very much, Neil. It's a pleasure to be here.
Marty Grothy is the author of the recently published Oxymoronica, Paradoxical Wit and Wisdom from History's Greatest Wordsmiths, and he joined us from the studios of WRNI in Providence, Rhode Island.
They're gonna put me in the movies. They're gonna make a big star out of me. We'll make a film about a man that's sad and lonely. And all I gotta do is act naturally.
Buck Owens with an oxymoronica of his own. Tomorrow, Ira Flatow will be here with Science Friday. We'll see you Monday. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.
The movie's gonna make me a big star. Cause I can play the part so well. Well, I hope you come to see me in the movie.
Then on